Good evening, everyone. I'm Harry Balzac, your host for this evening in this inadvertently socially distanced studio. I'm joined by the stalwarts of Hutton, the ever-apologetic Mia Harkness.
Whatever it was, I'm sorry, but that literally is my job.
The ever-sarcastic Juan Kerr.
Thank you, Harry. So glad to be here. I could be down the pub enjoying myself. It's what my heart beats for.
And the ever so handy with a pen, Norma Snockers.
Good evening, Harry. Get your move on. Lou said he's bringing a fish supper back later.
Then, without further ado, faster, hustle, flurry, bustle, brouhaha, hubbub, buzz, or foofaraw, it's time for the headlines. Cannons all fired up.
There'll be engineers before bedtime.
Time for the hack to make a stand.
Is it time for aftershine?
Standards fly at half mast.
Space Lurgy in both Epsilons.
It's time to get involved in community events.
Canon Research, normally apolitical to maintain their objectivity, are up in arms about Orion University putting the boot in. This is the famous Denver boot, named after the place which invented a means of generating override codes for Starship engines, namely Denver Station, which orbits an Earth-like world called Capitol in the Anseith system. Here, a small group of wannabe undergraduate hackers striving for the ultimate in incursions, namely reprogramming the McStiffy dispenser to give out free drinks, stumbled upon the means of turning off ship engines at a distance. Unfortunately for these undergrads of Orion University, they made a mistake of testing their accidental discovery on the Dean's personal runabout when he was on a personal mission with a co-pilot who was subsequently identified as not his wife. The sudden bringing to a halt of his ship just as he was about to enter his own personal supercruise damaged his paintwork, his reputation, and his third and fourth vertebrae. The upshot of the incident led to the confiscation of the invention, the rebranding as an Orion University product, and the Dean's divorce. All of which history leads us to the current situation with the Scrivener's clan and their dredger. Orion University have deployed the Denver boot and are keeping the ship, and adding to their claim that the Scrivener's ship is university property, they claim that they have the Scrivener's best interests at heart, which is a line that can be heard in most abusive relationships. Canon Research are unable to confront the university directly with any weapons other than words, but are urging the rest of the galaxy to sit up and take notice of this humanitarian crisis. They are asking for practical help. If the Scrivener's dredger cannot move, it will run out of fuel with disastrous consequences for all those on board. Canon are asking pilots from all over the galaxy to bring raw materials of any kind, right up to and including any old ship such as a Sidewinder that's seen better days, that can fit in the maw of the dredger and thus be converted to scrap, which can be processed for fuel. In an effort to break the dredger free of its spatial prison, Canon have also issued a call for anyone who has skill at tugging. They need skilled pilots to help push the ship and to get it where it's going as fast as possible. If you've got a big one and think that you can extend your reach around to the Uchosk PCC C29-0 system, then Canon would like you to give them a hand.
There has been a little confusion this week regarding experiments. The Brewer Corporation, purveyors of fleet carriers to the spacefaring community, eager to extend their network of handy Little Chef outlets along the Colonia Superhighway, spoke to a number of the engineers in the galaxy about getting their hands on a few tasty-looking pre-upgraded frameshift drives. All the better to jump to the new bases. The engineers duly Navy obliged and built up a hearty stock of pre-engineered modules for commanders' ships, forgoing their usual requirements of lots of cigars, lavy and brandy, and strange requests that normally include things like left-handed screwdrivers and tartan paint. Brewer, for their part, made an absolute killing on the contributions to the community goal and stand to make a lot more from tritium sales along the route, so were happy to fund things. It appears, though, that their procurement manager forgot to read the small print on the order confirmation. In little itty-bitty teensy-weensy writing at the bottom, it said, "Double engineer frameshift drives are not suitable for experimenting on. Experimentation will invalidate the warranty, and Brewer Corporation cannot be held liable for any loss incurred as a result. Potential problems as a result of attempting to bolt a left-handed doohickey, some lead plates, a 3/8 gripply, and a reverse polarity governor to your double engineer frameshift drive may include rapid cellular inversion, causing you to get red on you extensively, further unscheduled rapid exothermic disassembly, the need to carry jump leads for your ship, a bad earth leading to much sucking through teeth from your mechanic, an inexplicably large repair bill. Of course, misjumps may result, which are bad, and usually contain Thargoids and nowhere nearby to jump to." Having not read this small print, Brewer distributed the new modules and sat back to plan their next exciting corporate development. Then they checked their inbox. It wasn't pleasant. Despite the double-engineered modules outperforming their standard rivals by a whole 5 lighters on average, commanders were demanding that they be able to make the housing out of perforated tissue paper and to be able to use RON 1000 hyper-refined hydrogen fuel in them, and were outraged that they couldn't squeeze an extra fraction of a light year out of their Anaconda. There were pitchforks, flaming torches, which aren't sensible around hydrogen storage, and demands the free frameshift drives be made even better. We say free as everybody got paid already for their contributions, and this was just the little cherry on top of the bakewell. The engineers say no. The computer says no. Brewer says no. The Pilots Federation, they were positive in the assertion that the answer wasn't, "It's just too risky." Fire up one of these baby with the experimental effects on it, and the end of 2001 will look like a mild hallucination compared to what will happen next time you jump. Bad trip city. For the time being, commanders are asked not to badger their local engineer about experimental upgrades. Felicity Farseer is said to be even more sewn up cat's bum pinch mouthed over the whole affair, but he's still refusing to apply the necessary modifications. Not even if you bring her a nice bunch of flowers and some chocolate. There hasn't been a brewer this much in trouble since the year 2020, when well-known beverage maker BrewDog, we're not sure if they're a precursor to the modern company, offered some solid gold cans in a competition, only to explain only the micron-thick coating was solid gold and the rest of the can just contained delicious hoppy beer, which in the right light might look golden, or goldish, or goldy, but weighs significantly less. Of course, nothing lasts forever, and all things must come to an end. As of about an hour ago, the Pilots Federation announced that what I've been saying up to now is complete nonsense. Well, those weren't the words that they used. They said the experimental effects can now be used, but I'm sure they timed it so that it was too late for us to change the script. Still, it's hard to say stay annoyed for long when A, this helps everyone who wants to squeeze that last drop out of their drive, and B, it was announced by the lovely Sally.
This week marks the start of the latest series of I Think I'm a Celebrity, I'm Getting Out of Here. A grueling series of tests where people are forced to swallow all sorts of unpleasant nonsense. And that's just the audience. The programme is notorious for the self-inflicted humiliation heaped upon those who take part, ranging from having to perform daily chores in an uncomfortable environment and without a hat, to the infamous bush sucker challenge. where the participants must eat as many testicles as they can in 2 minutes, in order that they may truly be said to be talking bollocks. They will likely be reminiscing around the campfire about when I was young, and plenty of the older members of the Get the Heck Out of Here camp regaling their fellow inmates with tales about when procedurally generated 8-bit games had tails in them and definitely didn't contain edible poets or black felines, and most indubitably had plot lines, stories, and didn't rely on your imagination. Of days when there's no such thing as a grind to get those military lasers, and when you definitely could use VR on an 8-bit screen to walk around your wireframe station. Anyway, there will likely be a public vote at the end of it. Not that it will affect the outcome, but it makes for hilarious reading on Galtwit. There is currently a petition for the campmates to be forced to wear pumpkin head space helmets throughout, as what else are they going to do with the rotting vegetables that are left over from Halloween? For those that aren't as interested, other channels on Galflix include reruns of To the Pleiades Born, The Great Galactic Jump Off, where minor C-League faction representatives all attempt to MacGyver their way to build a frameshift drive with a buttery biscuit base and without it collapsing in the oven. Driving on Ice, where everyone laughs at the antics of SRV drivers attempting to perform as well as the host, Alec Turner, and earn themselves a perfect 10 on the night, without stuffing it into the scenery and experiencing a Lego-style conversion from perfect scarab to pile of small bits. And the finale of Love Planet, where the remaining billion of contestants are all given some Matrona Experience jelly, a big bucket of Lavian brandy and Scipion swimwear, and told not to misbehave or you're out. Please note, this programme is not suitable for those of a sensitive disposition, minors, or in fact anyone with any common sense. For our part, we'll be tuning in to reruns of Whose Pad Is This Anyway?
Like Mr. Dusty on steroids, a power vacuum is soon filled. Nowhere is this more true than in the crime families that control our galaxy, mostly from behind the scenes. The dastardly Don, the Camorra King, Don Antonacci, has departed the bubble for a quiet life, trying to make friends in the Pleiades, which left a vacancy. Stepping into these still warm, hand-stitched crocodile loafers with optional spats, and donning his white jacket, modelled oh so stylishly after a tattoo from Fantasy Outpost, comes Kingpin. His rivals were bowled over by his move. Despite a passing resemblance to a minor pirate known as Captain Beard, this villain is of an altogether more sinister bent. Kingpin hasn't been seen much since his vidcast showing him storming a defenceless surface settlement, where he demonstrated his trademark fetish for cutting panels using acronyms like PIC, PID, and the wearing of garish costumes. We are searching for his home base, and be assured, the truckers will find it, and we will make him pay for whatever it is that he's done. Now, the first item on that list, one which demonstrates just how comfortable and unassailable he feels, is his recent and quite blatant move to give the truckers the finger. Admittedly, this was his little finger, and it was raised whilst he was drinking. But he was drinking from a fake Hutton mug. "Oh, is it?" he replied when challenged, "but a man with as much experience as Kingpin told me does not make that mistake by mistake." When Kingpin told me...
What did Kingpin tell you? Ow.
When Kingpin told me, waved the fake mug around, it caused another superhero to rise. Pink Wafer Girl, whose secret identity is rumoured to be Commander Sally, leapt up and with a single bound showed Kingpin told me what real mugs look like, and then proceeded to annihilate him by whirling her bolas made of mini mugs and a pom-pom around, and basically chopping the legs from under him, metaphorically speaking. we would like to remind viewers and listeners that fake mugs are absolutely fine for you to make for your own amusement and beverages, just as long as they're not sold on the market, as that puts a price on the Hutton mug. Despite what you might see in the marketplace when at Hutton, real mugs are not for sale. They must be earned by doing, well, basically something extremely truckery. Real Hutton mugs are the only ones made from the deck plates of ships that failed to complete the long journey out to the orbital, and the only ones that will keep your beverage warm because of the frameshift energies that the material has absorbed. Fake mugs? Well, they hold liquid, don't they?
The export division of McThargoids, the people behind the Burger Off range of frozen meals that are sent to distant outposts and penal colonies, have run into a spot of bother. It appears that their synthetic meat products may not come up to scratch, as there's a rumour that they may not be made from products that come from approved sources. Unregistered protein vats are, apparently, big business in some dark corners of the galaxy, and we understand that some of them are not too fussy about where the protein comes from. Dead Meat Enterprises, ironically, is a big supplier of raw protein. Well, you've got to lend a hand, haven't you? It all comes from our small holdings, said a spokesman. Another provider of protein, no questions asked, is the self-titled Soy-like Green Corporation, which has as its tagline, not affiliated with Soylent, no way, no how, honestly. And the marketing phrase, keeps a body warm, does a warm body. Is currently being investigated by the standards authorities. A spokesman for McThargoid said, we do not use any of that synthetic rubbish. All of our products are made from 100% natural synthetics, grown in a small farm that happens to be next to an industrial plant. There are a lot of, you know, industrial accidents. When questioned about the Galnet rumour of where someone found a sock in a giganto-sized McGrowler pie, the same spokesman said that this sometimes happened as the air on the farm where the synthetic cows and chickens live is so pure and clean that workers like to dry their washing nearby, and that maybe a gust of fresh air had blown it across the factory or onto one of the synthetic goats, or one of the synthetic goats had leaned across the fence and eaten it from the line. He called the briefing to a close when we revealed that a human foot had been found inside the sock and that the previous owner of both sock and foot had not cut their toenails in some time. Investigations are ongoing, but it seems that the penal colonies and remote colonies, which form the bulk of the market for Burger Off products, due mainly to a lack of options, will have to do without McGrowler pies, pork sauce skewers, meat straws and badly packed kebabs until the supply issues are resolved.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Tharg has definitely dug in his heels, or whatever Goids have, in our near bubble systems and is ready for a protracted fight. He's learned nothing of the stubbornness of humanity, so we'll continue giving him lessons. Three new systems have been attacked: HIP-16753, Electra, and Taygeta, all in the Pleiades. We continue to align our combat priorities with the Anti-Xeno Initiative. The current top three, in order, are Kilano, Pleiades Sector PD-S, B4-0, and HR-1183, all in the Pleiades Nebula region. You can keep up to date on combat priorities and overall system status at Thargoid.watch. Haxcom's fleet carrier, FTM Fellowship, remains on station at the primary star of Pleiades Sector PD-S B4-0. All pilots are welcome there for restock, refuel, and repair. Rescue operations continue for the following 12 stations: Iesu Dock, Cavallari, Beringport, Fort Xeno, Cole Point, Betancourt Base, Hanna Enterprise, Ezra Point, Cheryl Orbital, Khan Relay, Carrion Vision, and Sao Prospect. evacuate non-critical personnel to the nearby rescue ship, or bring emergency supplies to those ships. For our truckers looking to haul repair supplies, Ark's Faith and Kalano Dock are ready for repair, however, both still have active Thargoid incursions. Operation Ida recommends waiting until those incursions have cleared before resupply activities begin, just in case Tharg decides to set those stations back on fire. For any pilots looking to join anti-Xeno operations but need guidance and training, we recommend the AXI Wiki at wiki.antixenoinitiative.com and joining the AXI Discord server. For rescue pilots wanting to join with like-minded fire jumpers, look for the Post-Disaster Evacuation Service also on Discord. We are making progress in our priority systems. Two are down to a moderate Goid presence, and one is at significant. Additionally, Evangelus in the Witchhead region is also down to a significant presence. It's going to take time, Hackswing, but we are going to push back the tide on this menace and we will prevail. Watch out for each other, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
With several adverse system states resolving themselves in one way or another, it's been a pretty busy week across Hutton space. Matters in our two problem systems have taken a decidedly rosier turn this week, with both of last week's laggards benefiting from system squabbles resolving themselves, leaving them both on 39, only a gnat's crotchet below Alvin's approval threshold. Barnard Star and Hilpar Sai have already seen one conflict resolve itself, where the latter saw Crimson State lose their attempt at gaining second place. With only 20% of influence locked up in each system, now is a good time to go in there and give them both a nice boost. Unfortunately, the outbreak in Epsilon Eridani that they caught from a toilet seat in Wolf 25 2 weeks ago has spread to the other Epsilon, the one of the Indie Bourbon fame. The authorities are confident that the outbreak has been contained and it will end within the next 24 hours. Commanders are asked again to be reminded to wear their remlocks in all inside spaces and stop eavesdropping on those unmasked characters inside social spaces, as you've no idea where they've been. Peregrina, most probably. Remlocks should only be removed in order to stick the sticky thing up your nose to scrape out some snot to see if you've got a dose of the space lurgy, and don't forget to pee on the correct end of the stick before you put it up your nose. The infrastructure failure in Y0855-0714 was cleared within a couple of days of the life safety systems going on the blink. Maintenance staff are confident that the newly installed newspaper gaffer tape and zip tie repairs will last, well, a bit. Well done to those commanders who assisted and successfully emptied the station of all gold, silver, cutlery and hotel bath towels. As predicted last week, we have expanded into a dump we didn't want. LP410-93 in this case. Commanders who can be bothered should sign up for Operation Backpedal and lose the war there. Can system custodians get their expansions under control instead of just prematurely spurting off in random directions? Speaking of this, at the top end of the Systems League, just like last week and the week before, we have 9 systems above 60%, with 1 over 70. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Chief Inspector Hankey of the Bus Depot, Grand Kazi of all the Colonias, asked that Tuckers assist in Pytheas, where Hot Colt have an election against Eds 38, and in Tyr, where there is a further election against Colonia Cooperative for the second slot. Priorities this week are to boost Hutton influence in Hilpar Sai and Barnard Star.
The galaxy continues to spin at around 210 kilometers per second in our region, and commanders continue to design new and exciting things to do in it. Here are some updates about events organised by members of the community. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Comfy Cannon Cruise may not live up to its name for much longer, as the couches aboard the Fleet Carrier Contour must have a spring or two poking out by now, but Commander Mephisto has managed to find a small corner away from the noise of reupholstering to pen this little note.
The Comfy Cannon Cruise is now at Waypoint 95, only 8,500 light years from Sol. Here, Khonsu was refueled with tritium in record time from Commander Illyrium's fleet carrier Angel's Share yesterday. Thanks to the passengers that were able to help before it was finished, and especially a big thank you to the generous commander that organised this. The first two waypoints since last report, with numbers 92 and 93, featured one type of Taurus mollusk each, Carillium and Flavum. The latter was discovered after the initial completion of the cannon challenge by Commander Mark Xanthius and pointed out by former passenger Commander Cometborn to lie along the route. Khonsu's scout, Commander Beligar, found some nice system to visit in the vicinity again, the most spectacular being a black hole at the centre of the nebula. At waypoint 94, there were bell mollusks for a change, the Blatium kind to be specific. The current waypoint, Purpuerum, good mollusks await examination. Khonsu will set course in the direction of Colonia tomorrow, which the cruise should reach in about 2 weeks.
The Wild Wild West, just a little less wild and a little less westward this week. Commander Airman Dan has had to go on a small side quest for a few days, where he has to collect dollars in order to feed his troll landlord, but sent Purple Rider in his stead to tell us what they'd been up to. After leaving their mark on the galactic map at waypoint 10 and climbing to the lofty waypoint 11, the intrepid commanders of the Wild Wild West expedition continue onwards toward to waypoint 12 and beyond. They've seen the wonders of the western edge of the galaxy and begin their meander back to the bubble, eager to share what they've found. Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky has finally remembered where they left the keys to the fleet carrier, and have made a move after picking up all their rubbish, of course. They're not animals. Commander Deluvian has finally got some real news and is eager to share it with us.
Bormadine Rift, here we are. On Tuesday, we finally entered the mysterious sector of space that gives shivers to so many commanders. So far, so good, and no surprises. It is very different, though, when you travel in a single ship versus a fleet carrier. It just feels safer to have docking ability to fix any potential problems. We're equipped with almost 16,000 tons of fuel, including the main depot, and we'll be moving forward to reach Spongu as soon as we possibly can. The departure from our previous location was a bit delayed due to new development in our mining strategy. Commander Hazard 6S came up with an interesting idea of multi-ship mining that turned out to be extremely efficient. One vessel is just prospecting and burning. The second vessel is burning and collecting. This way, double yield is quickly absorbed and fills up the collecting vessel. If you do it with three vessels, keeping only one collecting, that goes even faster. We've got a great crew, and I'm very lucky to have Commanders Hazard 6S, Drac Demender, D. Rainwater, and Kalidus Akoma with me. It's more terrifying when one of them decides to leave us for a time. Our Master Engineer Commander Hazard 6S isn't happy with his mining vessel and has announced his departure. Hazard 6S wants to get back to the bubble, build the appropriate vessel, and join us back. I advised against it because eventually Zodiac would be looping back in this direction anyway. He didn't want to wait and set off with, "I'll be back in no time." I very much hope so, because it really makes me uncomfortable to move forward without him on board.
There are still a few days left to sign up for the Magellan Experience. All truckers are invited by the Independent Explorers Association to their most ambitious trip to date, covering not only winter, but the first part of next year, starting November 28, 3307 to 6th of March, 3308. from Beta Sculptoris to W Ursa Majoris, heading south towards the Seagull Nebula to link up with the Perseus arm of the galaxy. From there, heading east down the arm all the way to the very tip to visit Magellan's star. Commander Richard Fluandem and the team have told us that there will be 3 mass launches to cover multiple time zones, Europe, North America, and what they've described as very early to cover Russia and the Southern Hemisphere. The latest 5-year tour, the Southern Nebula Journey, will be going on a 4-week trip to the south and southwest of the bubble, passing through 25 nebulae along the way. It's not asking for tritium because it's going to be a traditional event without the use of fleet carriers. It's meant for everyone, but most of all, new pilots. So if you feel like a longish trip but didn't want to go alone, then this one would seem to fit the bill. Commander Hunter has paused from putting posters up all around the bubble to send this rallying cry.
Hello everyone, our journey will begin soon. If you haven't signed up yet, there's still time to do it. We will be departing from the Mellier system on Saturday 1900 UTC. Be sure to grab a camera and snacks, because we'll be gone for 4 weeks. See you there, 07.
And finally for this week, the fantastically frigid trip to Trifid, described by the organisers thus.
Are those endless waves of pirates and combat zones boring you to the core? What about your mining? The endless repetition getting to you? Look no further. The fantastically frigid trip to Trifid has you covered. Bring your explorer vessels and prepare to see some of the best sights just outside the bubble. Get your camera suite ready, free up space on your data core, as this list includes stops such as glowing gas giants, wondrous nebulae, ring planets, planets inside rings, and landable planets with unique geography. Come and roast s'mores with us over the vents on Lucifer's lair and dress warmly for landing on some of the icy bodies we'll be exploring. Been itching to prove your dominance in an SRV? We have a couple of planets well suited for just that. Along some of the stops, we'll hang out and watch various space movies and play some party games. Games and movies to be decided upon by the expedition members, and we announce at a later date. This expedition is geared for newer players, or those who just want to kick back, relax, and enjoy a nice fire event with some new and exciting people. Exploration ships come highly recommended, but are not necessarily required. This trip will be done in Odyssey, as the planet Gen makes for some really nice pictures, though it should suit Horizons. You are welcome to follow our route in Horizons, although the fleet carrier may not be available to you. You will be followers under your own power. Have a fleet carrier and want to help the members in Horizons? Contact Ikers the Mage at #3652 on Discord.
Remember, if you want your event to feature, please email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll make sure you get a shout out.